Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. My name's Mike, and this week I have a guest on that I have actually never met. But I had a couple friends who were running Cowboy 200, and I started getting texts saying, "Oh, dude, you've got to talk to this guy." One of my friends said, "His name is Jeff, and I think the last name is R, but he's got this story that is just perfect for the podcast." And I was like, "Okay, you got me interested." And then I was chatting with another one of my very, very close friends who was actually running with him while we were texting back and forth to arrange for her to be on the podcast because I run her Cape Fear 24 hour every year. And she's just like, "Jeff Ruiz, you've got to get him on the podcast. The story's amazing, and I'm not telling you a word about it." So I know nothing about the story other than it's amazing. But then I looked up Jeff Ruiz and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this dude is like a stellar ultra runner." So without further ado, let's welcome in Mr. Jeff Ruiz. I butchered it anyway, Jeff.
You're all good.
For a run?
Yes, there you go. All right. Well,
cool.
Thank you. Thank you for, very kind words. The ultra community is a very loving, giving, supportive community. So we all have amazing stories. I'm just one of those that has a story to tell, and I'm glad to share it.
Yeah, and amazing stuff that you've done in the ultra running thing. And you're right about the community. It is an amazing, loving, accepting community that kind of wraps its arms around its own and everybody else that kind of comes along with it. So tell us a little bit about who is Jeff.
From a professional life, I work in the healthcare industry, work for a company called TriMax. We support medical devices in the hospital arena. So we do all the work with x-ray equipment and anesthesia equipment. That's, I'm at the University of Michigan Health Lansing working this late hour. So glad that we could connect. Married, have three daughters, a son that we'll get into here, five grandkids, and, very blessed, very fortunate in what the man upstairs has given to me. And that's just a little bit about me.
That's awesome. And you've got quite the ultra running resume. How long have you been doing this?
So it is a, we'll call it not the most, if you were to gauge the path of where I started into where I'm at today, it is not a straight line. It is not a gradual path. It is ups and downs and, pauses. This really started back in the 90s. The gentleman I worked with, Chris Henley, that we would talk about marathons and basketball, because that's what I did back in the day. I played a lot of basketball, rec league. And we would have this joke, what was tougher? And although we never did it, I'd say, the only way we could answer this is if we would put basketball goals a mile apart from each other and then play a game of one-on-one. But we never did
awesome.
That. I did step my toe into the marathon, and I thought, with my basketball training, I'll run 4 5-mile training runs. I'll be ready for this marathon. And I did it. I did it without stopping, but I thought I had stress fractures in my legs for 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I'm going to ever do this again, I'm going to train for it. And I did, and actually was the most improved marathoner from the next year. And, started that road marathon, trying to do marathon each state thought process. But then Chris moved out to Vegas, and Chris is a gifted individual. His heart beats once for every two or three of our beats. So he's got a 2:32 marathon PR. Nothing I could ever, he runs twice as fast as I can, but he wanted to do Western States and he wanted to do Badwater. So I helped crew and pace him at Western States in 2001. And then I crewed and paced with him at Badwater 2001, 2002, and 2003. And that really opened my eyes to ultras. And, and I'm like, okay, yeah, let me try some of this. And I'll tell you, the path to ultras was a very hard one for me. My first 11 100-mile races, I either missed the cutoff or I DNF'd. So I learned a lot in those. It was haphazard. You try running it 1 year, take a break, go after it another year. And around this time in the 2000s, I started having a family, started having kids. And, you want to still be athletic, but at the same time, you got to be a parent. You want to embrace your family. So I would kind of put that on pause. And then luck would have it that I moved out to Western Michigan and started running again. The kids were getting a little bit older, and I ran into a group called the Hobby Joggers that I got to give them their shout out. They are a group of like-minded individuals that love to be on the trails, love to test their endurance levels. And when I ran into them, I fell in love with them. And next thing you know, I got my first 100 done at Burning River. Then I got Woodstock done. And, you know, I was almost at that level to get done with ultras, but they were that little bit extra to get me over the hump.
That's awesome.
It was great. I think also in 2019, this is when it all kind of clicked for me. I had another friend of mine, another trail friend, Steve Yops, that I was dabbling in 50s and doing all this other stuff. He said, you know, dude, if you're going to do hundreds, that's what you need to focus on. And that's what I did in 2019. I signed up for the Midwestern States Slam, missed out at Kettle Moraine and at Mohican. But again, we got it done at Burning River and at Woodstock. So that kind of got me to where we're at today. And then the Cowboy 200 was something that I was looking at doing maybe a year ago. It was recuperating from some plantar fasciitis stuff. But when it came to this year, absolutely, it's on my list. I've never done a 200 before. What attracted me to this race was that I didn't have to have a crew. You had your manned aid stations, your drop bags. If you were strategic with those types of supplies and what you needed, you could get it done. And that's what I did, is I registered, got in, and was prepared for it.
And you got her done. Good, man. 77 hours for a 200 is awesome.
Well, and kind of getting into the story. So let's, you know, we'll talk about miles for miles. And
yes, please.
Okay. So I will say my son has been very special to me. And it goes back to when I first knew I was going to have a boy. So back in the days of running the marathons with his mom, she's pregnant. We're getting ready to find out if we're going to have a boy or girl. And I'm training for the marathon. So you do intervals, right? You do the quarter mile intervals, run and jog and then hit it hard again. And we knew what the names would be if it was a girl. It was going to be Violet Joyce. And we knew if it was going to be a boy, it was going to be Miles Jacobs. So I would run the quarter and I would think, Violet Joyce, Violet Joyce. And in my mind, I would envision seeing this little girl in my life and all the things that she would do. And then I do the next loop and I go, Miles Jacob, Miles Jacob. And I'm, all right, here, you know, what that life would be with that boy. And we go to do the ultrasound and they make the announcement. All right, you're going to have a little girl. And I was ecstatic, very happy, you know, to having Violet in my life. And that was the first girl granddaughter into the family. But at the same time, I had just a little bit of sadness of that little boy, Miles Jacob, not being there. And I'm like, okay, you're moving forward. You're doing your things. And then 3 years later, I remember we're going in for the ultrasound. And I couldn't even tell you what the girl's name was going to be. I don't remember.
You were set on Miles Jacob, huh?
Totally. And Miles Jacob, the doctor, so adequately stated, oh, I see a little kickstand. You've got a little boy. And you know, I had tears in my eyes. I'm like, oh my gosh, he waited 3 years to come down. And that kickstand was a symbol of our relationship. As we grew older, we would do bike rides together.
Oh,
we
cool.
would go out and do the, out in Michigan, we have the Pierre Marquette White Pine Trail. It started off as a 100-mile, a day and a half trip to then we did 200 miles plus. And every year we would do a little revision and you go, Dad, you know, we don't need to bring the tents. We could use the cabins that are there and maybe we get an extra day and we can go explore this area. So it was really a great adventure. And that was our thing, right? You know, he never gravitated towards running, never to basketball, but he loved the bike riding and he loved that time together. So that's where we developed that relationship. But early on, when he was about 10 years old, I remember he just uncharacteristically had a meltdown and said that he hated his life. And that was a flag that, all right, let's have a conversation. Let's have some counseling. And we start working with some therapists. And there was some ways that he needed some tools to help with whatever anxiety, depression, things that were building. And we worked through with him on that. And then as he got older, you know, you're thinking, all right, things are moving the right way. We're in a good place. And then 2019, I'll remember that I get woken up from my wife and she says, okay, first of all, Miles is okay, but he's at the emergency hospital. We need to go there. And at this time, we have a blended family. I'm on the west side of the state. His mom's on the east side of the state. So we travel, and he had, attempted his life. We had him admitted. Again, we're doing all the mental health things that we can do, the consulting and medications and what have you. And, I still remember having conversations with him where, son, are you okay? And he's like, Dad, I'm good. And, I can go through all the text messages and all the things that, he's saying, I'm good, Dad. I'm superb. I can't wait to see you. So, you as a parent, you're having that trust, and you're hoping, those things are working. The therapy is doing the things that it needs to do, but you're never 100% sure. So I took those next 2 years from 2019 on as true blessings, and we did everything we could together because you just don't know. And then 2021, we get the knock at the door, get an officer that says, hey, I've got some bad news about your son. And I am just like, you got to give me something. You got to give me something that is, I'll take a, in a coma, a paralysis, something. But don't give me what you're going to tell me. So he says that Miles had passed, and where he would be at. And I just collapsed at the door. I just hear all the phone calls coming in, all the conversations going on, and I'm just sitting, and I'm looking out my front door, and there's a brick fence, and this colonel comes in and is just sitting there for like 5 minutes, just being that sign of, hey, I'm okay. I'm in a better place, and it's gonna be okay, Dad. So now I've got to, I've got a son's funeral. I gotta get together. I have a high school that is in a little bit in disarray. I've got all of his classmates that are looking for answers, and I'm praying to the man upstairs too. You gotta give me something to help me, some words of encouragement, what we can do to help out here. So at his eulogy, we focused on five things. One, made sure that everyone in the room understood that they matter, that they are important. Two, doesn't matter how difficult the task is or how easy the task is, always reach out for help. Someone will give you a hand. It's okay to do that. Three, if you see someone asking for help, lend a hand. If you see someone that has fallen, lend a hand, help them up, support them. Four, and this was really key for Miles. Miles was such a strong friend. He was such a source of compassion for his classmates that, check on your strong friends. You may see them that they're tough, they're able to handle things, but you don't know what the struggles that they're dealing with. And then the last one was, let's focus on the golden rule. Treat others as you would want to be treated. And that was the message that I shared there. And then how that transitioned to Miles for Miles is, so on his birthday, I go and run whatever years he would be on his birthday. So this past year, he would have been 21. So we did 21 miles. And what I do is I share it as a Facebook event. I share that on both my social and on my professional network. The hope is to share the message of those five messages there. And that if you see anyone that's having problems or challenges, to reach out and help and support. And if we impact just one life, then that helps Miles' memory live on. and it helps change a life in the future. So that's what we're trying to do. And then this year, I could go into a few other stories, but we'll focus on this. We made some Miles for Milestones, which he was a gamer, programmer, brilliant kid, just super smart. And one of the games that he was designing, he has this kind of icon that he created. So we painted the front of the stone with this icon, and then we put Miles for Miles in the back and the Grand Haven Rocks on the back. That's the rock group, not rock and roll group, but painted rock group to follow. And we let all the participants grab it. They can place it anywhere on the trail, take it with them, and place it anywhere that they feel. And that way they can spread that message. So lo and behold, here we are. We've got the Cowboy 200, and talked with my stepdaughters that painted the rocks. I said, let's do some rocks for the cowboy, and let's do the face, and then on the back we'll put the Cowboy 200. Keep going. We want to have a message of hope, both for the runner or whoever may comes across it. Again, Miles for Miles in the Grand Haven Rocks. And what I originally thought I was going to do was during the race, go plant them as I was running and then go into the drop bags and then plant them some more. But the way the race is set up, you drive by the start in Norfolk first, coming from the east side, and then go to the Hotel Valentine. And I was 2 days ahead of the race. I said, well, you know what I'll do? I'll just go before kind of the aid stations, place them along the trail, and dispense them throughout. So again, my hope was that runners would see them, pick them up, either put them anywhere else along the trail, take them home, use them for a source of encouragement, share that message on the Cowboy 200 Facebook page for encouragement. And again, with September being a suicide awareness, made that point too that, hey, I did lose my son to a battle of mental health, but we can help others through this message and through this act. And that was my hope. And got overwhelming support before the race, during the race, and then didn't know what was happening until I really to the following morning, where I'm at the hotel and I run into some folks that, Jeff, I saw your rock with like 15 miles to go. I picked it up, I rubbed it, and I knew that I could get done and pushed all the way through. And we started hearing some other stories as such. So that's what the Miles for Miles rocks was. And I did keep one rock in my pocket from beginning to end, and that was my own special Miles for Miles rock to help me get through it. And Mike, when you're doing some of these races, it's more than just you. You need help and support from others. And Miles was through me every step of the way, helped me during my lows and my down points. And when I got to the finish, I just, that's where I put it. I put the last rock there, gave it a kiss, and next thing you know, I 77 miles. We got it done, and hopefully, we impact some other people in a positive way.
Yeah, Jeff, what an amazing story. And man, thank you so much for sharing it. I mean, it's such an important message because, there's so many people, even in the ultra running community, that are struggling with mental health. And, like I have a friend here who I just went to see him in the hospital today, and he attempted suicide last week. And he's an amazing young guy, and your heart just reaches out for him, and the first thing you think of is how should I have contacted him. And I love your 5 points, because the hey, ask for help, be willing to ask for help. And there's so much going on. Like I run Swami Shuffle 200 every year. And Swami Shuffle 200 is a 200 miler, where there's only 22 of us that run, and it's for veteran suicide awareness. All the money that comes from entry fees and everything goes to Mission 22, and the organization that puts it on, they reach out locally to veterans that, we're losing 22 veterans a day to suicide in the country. And so, this the whole mental health aspect is that is part of why I run, is that there's a lot of people that need to know that they're stronger than they think they are, and that it's okay, because we're all not going to be strong all the time. It's okay to say, "Hey, I'm struggling. Can you come alongside me?" And I love what you're doing with Miles for Miles. And dude, just kudos to you, because that's a hard story to share. Still just fresh. I can tell just listening to you tell the story that it's just, that grieving never goes away. The way that you're approaching this whole thing, the way that you did all of Cowboy 200, Jeff, is just amazing. And, very much admire what you're doing in your son's memory.
Well, thank you. And again, it's the community, right? We have a awesome community that is very welcoming and supportive. And when we do put ourselves out there, they're right there to support and help out and do what we can. It helps. We talk about that asking of help. It's a hard thing to do, and that's where that checking on your strong friends is such a key piece. And I had a colleague reach out to me, professional colleague, just a week ago, prior to the Cowboy. Just, "Hey, I'm checking in, Jeff. Just seeing how you doing, man. Had a great summer with you. You'll want to make sure you're doing okay." And I responded back, "Dude, I appreciate that. Thank you. I am doing good, and thank you for checking out on me, because it means the world." And that's sometimes what we got to do too.
What a message. Reach out to those who you think are strong. You don't know what's going on. So that's a great message. Fantastic message. So, as you know, I got to Lisa McFadden is like one of my favorite race directors of all time, and she's also
Oh my
quite the
gosh.
iconic runner. So you and Lisa spent it, the way she described it when I was chatting with her on Sunday is you were inseparable that last night.
We were. It's funny, we started running to each other like the day before and connected and talked. And then, boy, I had a rough patch. And I said, "Go ahead, I'll catch up to you." And then it wasn't until like the next day. And I'm coming, oh gosh, we're probably like about 150 out, I think, or 150 in. And I'm getting close to the manned aid station. And she's probably going to hit me in the side when I tell this. So as I'm approaching it, I'm seeing legs like on the top. I'm seeing arms on the bottom of this, and there's this flailing around, and it reminded me of like a Carol Burnett skit from the 70s or something. So I'm going, "What are you trying to do?" And she's like, "I'm trying to elevate my legs on the water bottles here." So when I saw her there, again, I was probably in a little bit of a rough patch. I think she was waiting. She knew I was behind her a bit. And we said, "Yeah, let's stay together. This makes sense." And she helped me that stretch, because, oh my gosh, that was the third night. You're doing everything you can to stay awake. And we had such great conversations. She's telling me about her races that she does and some of the fun stories and things that she's done. I share some of my crazy things that I've done over the years. And we talk about our marriages, where we how we ended up to where we're at today, and our family. And next thing you know, we're approaching Lakewood aid station, and I was like, "Holy cow, we just did 11 miles. That was great." So she is really a great person, great soul. And really, a key person that was the main contributor for getting me to the finish line.
That's awesome. Well, you do know you're going to have to come out to the East Coast and run Cape Fear 24 hours someday.
I know that. I know that's coming up, and I'm going to have to do that for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It will drive you insane. It's a 0.59 mile loop, and you just keep going around it, man. And you're so loopy at the end. It's funny, but there's so many legends in the ultra running community. Yeah, the Ray Krolowicks and Tom Greens of the world, who ran the first Grand Slams, and you're just sitting there going, and you get to rub shoulders with them, for 24 hours, and so it's just fun. So yeah.
It is very cool. And if you're on pace for a buckle, I know that Lisa will come out and hound you for that. Hey, you gotta stay on course. You gotta keep it going.
Yes, she will. If you're even close,
Yep.
you do not get to even rest. If you're anywhere,
Oh.
once you hit 90, Lisa is on your back the entire time.
Yes.
So, and it is awesome. So I can't wait to hit 90 this year. So I've my best has been 89 miles. So I'm going for 100. So I'm one of these insane people. I've turned into an ultra walker because I figured out that I'm a much better power walker than I am a runner because I keep
Okay.
my heart rate low and I can keep food
Yeah.
down and I actually enjoy it more. So I'm gonna walk the entire 24 hours and hit 100 miles. So yeah,
You'll
somebody
do
has to
it.
be insane.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This has been so much fun talking with you, Jeff. I feel like I could talk forever, but the message with miles is one that I think is just invaluable, and I hope people listen to those five tips over and over again. So I'm going to give you a chance to go over the five tips one more time and maybe tell a little story with each one of them just so that it resonates with folks.
So again, the first one is that we all matter, and I will say in this reference, I'm looking at about 120 students at a funeral, and if Miles could have seen the outpouring of love, would that have been enough to push on another day? Us in the ultra world, as we face adversity in our races and in the things that we do. Isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to, if you get that blister, address that blister, see what you can do to push forward. If that stomach's acting up, okay, what do I got to do to kind of just get through that? And all these things come to us and you just find a way to keep going. We all matter. And if we think that, we understand that, we can do so much. And I know the mental health aspect, it's more than just believing to persevere. There's a lot more in there, but boy, I think that's a great place to start. Again, the second, seek help. Again, we were, again, with all the students, there was a lot of looks of despair, shock. What do I do? What's appropriate? What can I, should I come up to the cast? A lot of difficult questions. And I said, look around you. There's such a wondrous community here. Parents, fellow students, teachers, talk to anyone here that will gladly help you out. Okay, it can take a courageous step to ask for that help and support, but please do. Better to ask than not ask. I'll reiterate again, helping of others. I think in today's society, we see so many times where someone it might be down, and you get the proverbial piling on, so to speak. But why not offer your hand and help someone else, raise them up, lend an ear. I mean, that in of itself could be the one act that might be able to help someone push on for another day. And then, as we'd said with the checking on your strong friends, there are so many people out there that are dealing with things that we have no idea. Let's see what we can do to reach out to them and see if, hey, I want to just check in, see how things are going with you. Anyone that's listening today on this podcast, if you check on one strong friend, that could be very impactful. So I would challenge you to do that. And then the last one is, again, be kind to others. Again, we still don't know what others are going through. See what we can do to help others. If we're on an ultra run and someone is having a little bit of a rough patch, hey, go over them, say hi, introduce yourself. Lisa was great at the cowboy going, well, where are you from? What do you do? What brought you to Nebraska? Those types of things, and that can help. Really what we're trying to do here is, try to impact one life from making a terrible decision, postponing that decision, maybe for an hour, maybe for a day. And that could dramatically positively impact a life. So that's our hope of hopes with Miles for Miles, and hopefully we can impact some other lives.
Absolutely. Doing an awesome job. So, Jeff, this way we like to, kind of wrap up all of the podcasts and everything. So the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. So Living an Ultra Life was kind of born out of I started this in 2020 because I was so frustrated with the pandemic and everybody's saying you can't do stuff, and I'm like, man, that's not how I was created. I did not grow up in a you can't, atmosphere. I grew up in a you can atmosphere, and so kind of one of my life verses when I was going through a really, 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 really hard time was John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to, and I have come to give you life to the full. And so, having been an ultra runner when that verse first came to me, I said, "Wait a second, that's what an ultra life is. It's a life to the full." And so that's the name of the podcast. So when you hear living an ultra life for the first time, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Well, I was thinking that because I, reading the title, I like, oh, this is great. To me, it is, when my day comes and that coffin is open, I need to hit it head first, and I'm going into head first, and I've done everything possibly that I can to positively impact others, positive fashion, positively impact my family. My work, I try to do things in a positive fashion there, and I've got a very strong network community there that I've done some things that we've shared the miles for miles story there as well. But my goal is to leave nothing back. And the Cowboy 200 is a reflection of that. Do I wait another year to do it? Do I wait till I'm just perfectly trained for this race? No, it's like, we don't know what's going to be here tomorrow, so let's live life to the fullest.
Jeff, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. And again, so many stories are out there. I'm just one little speck of sand.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.